Tonight I want to share a word with you guys that I've been thinking on for a while, and something that God has just showed me while I was watching something, and hopefully it will just it's just encouragement for tonight. I want to trust God to really encourage us and bring new hope for some people here. In a way that sometimes, you know, we do need. So tonight I want to speak about just dealing with disappointment. You know, that's something that happens to all of us. You know, if you are alive, you will be disappointed somewhere by someone or something. Okay, so it's something that happens to us. Continuously, and I just want to get my thing out here, this thing, okay, I'll put it there for now, because when we speak about disappointment, you cannot speak about that without, you know, and I've already preached on it, so I won't preach on it again, but I want to, for those of you who haven't been here when I preached that, so I'm just going to recap a little on the thing that goes with disappointment. You know, the two of them kind of walks hand in hand. And the other one is offenses, okay? So I've already spoken in depth, you know, a lot of times actually, just on offenses. And so just to get you guys thinking, just turn to the person next to you and tell them what do you think? There's not a right or wrong answer. Just tell them what you think. What is the difference between offense and disappointment? Okay, so just quickly share with the person next to you what you think about that. I won't ask them to say what you said, so don't worry. Right. Okay, do we have some good answers among us? Huh? I don't know what to say, Deval. It's a difficult one. But when we speak about these two things, and this is just Deval, you know, it's not like it comes from a book somewhere. But for me, the difference between disappointment and offense, you know, it stems from the same place. So it comes from the same place, because what happens is you have got an expectation. All right? So your expectation is here. But then whatever you experience according to you is here. So you've got that gap, which can be either disappointment or offense. Okay, so the difference between the two is the one you and this is my thing. Okay, so for both of them, you've got a thing. It's my blue thing. I've been reading The Cat in the Hat too many times for the kids. And thing one and thing two. So this is thing one, and I'll get thing two now. But when it comes to these two things, you need to pick up different things. Okay? So when you are offended, it's something that you need to take for yourself. Okay? When you are disappointed, you know, you don't, you know, take, you're not responding necessarily from anger or, you know, being mad at somebody. So you don't take the offense, but there's something else that you need to take. And that's what I'm going to preach on later. Okay? Thing two. Thing one. So just to recap for those people who haven't been in some of my sermons, just regard or in Encounter 2 or 1 or whatever, where I speak about just this this teaching on offense, is Jesus said in Luke 17 verse 1, and he said, "Then he said unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will not come. It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come." So when it comes to the thing that you pick up, which is your offense, then you get to a place where Jesus says, listen, this is going to happen. You will get opportunity to be offended. And if you pick up that offense and you make it yours, then you've got a problem. And the problem is, you will fall into from one place, you know, you will start here and you will think it's okay, but then you will digress into a place where you are ultimately bitter. And bitterness is a bad thing. All right, so please, those of you who know my stupid story, I'm going to stupid story again. Because this is important for some of us. And even if you've heard it 70 times, when your expectation is here, I'm speaking about thing one, which is offense, okay? So if your expectation is here, and what you experience as delivered is here, and that part is not happening, then you take offense, and it's something that you need to take. So you need to get hurt, and I'm not saying that when you get offended, it's not legitimate. Sometimes you get offended because people are really nasty beings. And there's all of the potential in the world for you to be mad at them. And that I understand. I've been through it. But God never says to us, listen, that's okay. If somebody offends you greatly enough, then it's okay. No. Jesus is actually very tough on that. He says that if you do not from your heart forgive your brother or sister. Now this is those types of sermons you don't hear much. If you not from your heart forgive your brother or your sister for whatever they've done to you, then my Father in heaven will also not forgive you. This is heavy stuff, people. And people walk around, you know, with this whole, yeah, but Jesus will forgive me and it's okay, I can live my life in whatever way I want to, mentality, because of a lot of nonsense that gets put into people's heads these days. And they are on such a bad wicket because of offense. And ultimately, the underlying thing of offense is unforgiveness. And that's why I'm just taking that scripture. Unforgiveness is where you end up if you don't want to let go of the things that you are offended about. So, my stupid story is this. And I always do it generally because sometimes, you know, you can step on people's toes. Yes. Sometimes you can offend people from the pulpit. So what happens is the pastor Duval walks in the spar, okay? And then as he walks in the spar, you know that he saw you. And then he deliberately decided not to greet you. That is terrible, I know. No grace for the pastor, you know. Like being busy or being focused on something else and not seeing you. No. He looked at me and he did not greet me. The so-and-so. So your expectation is there that the pastor must always see you and greet you. And now he didn't do that. Now here's your offense. And you pick it up with me. So now you've got this thing one, in your hand. So, Nobuhle, come here. I'm standing here with a pastor. Okay, so if I turn the tables around, she didn't greet me. Now I'm offended with her. Okay. So when I've got offense against somebody, it works like this. I take my offense and I stick it here. Okay, Nobuhle, you can walk. Just walk there. Does she know about my offense? No clue. Do I know about this? Every single step of the way. Thanks. You can go and sit. So when, yeah, give her a hand. Thank you so much. you are a great offense holder against her. So as you walk with this thing, you need to keep it there. And then people get bitter from there. But anyway, when it comes to this, then the next thing happens. Before I even greet Nobuhle, before I have even greeted her. You know, that was our expectation, that I need to greet her. But now because of this offense that she's got against me, even before I've greeted her, she's already on the back foot. This pastor. So, and this is just a stupid example, but what happens is we get offended by people and then we don't go and deal with it. The Bible says, you know, it takes it even further. The Bible says, if you know that your brother or sister has got something against you, go to your brother and sort it out. If your brother hears you, you have gained your brother. No. Those are for other people, not for me. You know, it's for other people. It's for those offended people. So, now, the first offense that you take, it's like when you play rugby and you get, you know, knocked on your ribs and it's broken. Now, because of the offense, you have got sore ribs. And whatever I do as the pastor, I want to love you. I want to give you a big old hug because I love you. What are you going to do? You're already shielding yourself and I only want to love you. So you are not being able, you cannot experience love for what it's worth. Because now you start to build walls around your heart. And that's why I'm saying, when we get offended, it's because many times, you know, it's legitimate stuff. And I'm just, you know, superficial now. There's deep things that happen to us which do offend us. People do nasty things to us. But that doesn't, you know, excuse you from that guy will be judged or that girl will be judged by God for their actions. You and I will be judged according to our response to that action. And if you are not willing to let go and to forgive from your heart, you will be judged on that. Because you don't want to forgive. My pain is heavy. And it is, most probably. I wanna treat my pain, you know, like it's kind of a pet thing. And if you don't deal with it, then you are going to get to a place where you will be so bitter, you will become this hard person. Not because you want to. Because when you start building walls around you, why do we build walls? We build walls because we don't want to get hurt. It's not rocket science, people. You don't want to get hurt, so now you build walls around you. Because if I build the walls and keep people there, they won't hurt me. You know what else it does? It keeps out the love. You can also not experience love if you've got walls. So it's fine. You won't experience pain, but you also not experience love. You need to let your guard down. You need to let God into your pain. And this is the bad part, people into your walls. You need to break it down. So that's just a quick summary of offendedness. So, offendedness is that expectation that was not met and then you picked up this thing and you are holding it against somebody or something because of unforgiveness and it's bitterness in your heart, so it's a bad thing. Okay, so that's the first part of this message. So, I just want to show you someone who was, and you know, someone who was offended with Jesus. And then, the thing I want you guys to see tonight is, and this is what just blessed me when I saw this, I want you to look at Jesus' response in these different scenarios. So I'm going to take the first scenario is going to be somebody that was offended with Jesus. Then the second scenario, you know, can be in between. Either disappointed or offended, I don't know. You can make up your mind. And then the last one is just people that were disappointed. And I want you guys to look at Jesus' reaction in all of those circumstances. Okay, so the first one that we're going to look at is in Mark chapter 10. You can follow there on the on the screen, or you can turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. If you've got your Bible here, then you can turn there. And this is a guy that comes to Jesus. He's a good guy, and he's a rich guy. And then we read this story about him. And he was setting out on his journey. A man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him. You know, this is a respectful guy. He ran up and he knelt before Jesus, and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So he's really struggling with this. This is in his heart. This is his biggest desire. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good?" So first he says, "Listen, let's see what's your definition of good. No one is good except God alone." Okay, so Jesus saying that I'm God. Is it so in your understanding? And then Jesus said, "You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, and this little disclaimer there, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then you come and follow me." And then, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then, just the next verse, and Jesus looked around, this guy is leaving, and Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And then his disciples were amazed at his word, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished at him and said, "Then who can be saved?" You know, they were also looking at themselves. So it's not just, they was like, "Then who can be saved?" And then Jesus said, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So this guy comes to Jesus and he asks him a wonderful question. And in today's, you know, day and age, that is like the best thing that can happen to you. Evangelism on a platter. Somebody runs to you and say, "What must I do to be saved?" And you just say, "My brother, do not fear. The wall is here. I will bring in Jesus later." No. Just pray this prayer. And it's fine, you know, the prayer in that. But in that position, Jesus didn't say that to him. "Just believe in me and then you'll go to heaven." Jesus looked at him after he's asked him all this, what is his understanding of the law, and he's given it to him, and he sees that he's actually quite close in his heart. And then he sees this one thing and he says, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have." So Jesus just looked at the idol in his life and said, "Lay down that idol and then you come and follow me." And many of us, that person as well, get offended at Jesus when he asks difficult stuff. And he can. You know, one of the biggest questions these days is, how can a loving God allow evil in the world? You get it a lot. So people are conditioned in their thoughts and everything to be offended with God already. And we are fallen beings anyway. So when God comes to us and he says to us something like this person that came to Jesus, "Listen, sell all you've got and go give it to the poor and then you come and follow me," then we get offended at him. But what I want you guys to see is what Jesus did not do. When that guy left offended, after he's already expressed, you know, his absolute desire to be saved and to follow Jesus and all of that, he's leaving. Jesus can still see him. He turns to his disciples, he speaks to them, and all those other things. What Jesus didn't do is call him back, run after him, say, you know, this is just figuratively speaking. When that guy gets offended by Jesus and what he said, Jesus left him alone. I know now you're like, "Well, but the Bible says that God is with me always." Yes, through the Holy Spirit, that is so. But in this story, this guy that is offended with Jesus doesn't run after him and say, oh, okay, and say, oh, it's fine, you know. Jesus leaves him to work out his offense with God. Where God is with him, you know. But the Holy Spirit can do something in us. After Jesus was crucified and roasted, you know, the history tells us that this rich young ruler came and he followed Jesus anyway, so that is great. So that's the first thing that I want you guys to see. And, you know, many of us walk around with our offense, and then we look to God and we say, God, kind of like a pity party. Oh, come and rub my back. And Jesus loves you and God loves you, but he's like, listen, my boy, my girl, come on. Read the scriptures. Deal with your offense. Come back. Same with the son. Prodigal son. There we go. Let me just get the English in my head. The prodigal son leaves, gets all his stuff, and he goes. The one thing that is great about that story for me is that the father always looks to the horizon. When is he coming back? So the expectation is there, you know, he's got to come back. So his heart's longing for him, but it's not going to search for him. Because he was a son in the house. He knows what he's got. He leaves him to sit there amongst the pigs and say, you know, even the servants in my father's house are better off than I. I need to deal with my stuff and go back. And then he goes back. But anyway, that's a sermon for another time. Now, the second one is in Matthew 11, this borderline case that I said between offense and disappointment. Matthew 11, 1 says, when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, you know, John the Baptist, this amazing guy, Jesus' cousin, you know, all the wonderful things that he did, he was sitting in prison. It's not the nice place to be. About to be beheaded. Now, John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, and he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? So even for a while, John's expectation of Jesus was there. Now he's sitting in prison, and things are a little bit whacked in his head. And he's got this gap. So that's what I'm saying. I think this is more disappointment, but at least he's sending somebody to Jesus. And then, again, Jesus answered them because they came and said, are you the one who is to come or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them. Let's just go back. John heard about all the deeds of Christ and then he sent word by his disciples. Okay, so he heard all the stories of what Jesus is doing. He's asking this question. And Jesus answered them and said, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And then this sentence, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. What happened here is Jesus didn't go to John and say, my cousin, because it was actually family in a bloodline way, you know. Hello, my cousin. My cousin. Barry Hilton. No. None of that. Jesus didn't go there because that's what I would have done. You know, if my brother or my cousin asked this question, then I would have gone and said, hey, where you at? Come on, man. You know what's the truth. No? Send them back. Said, tell of the stuff that you see and all of those things. John. So maybe John was a little confused and sorry for himself. Maybe he was a little disappointed because he thought that Jesus would be something else. And now he's not seeing that maybe. And then the last one, the case of disappointment. In Luke 24, verse 13. Now this is after Jesus was crucified, you know, and the borderline thing with John is that, you know, as a good Jew, they had an expectation of what Jesus was about. Hello, Luke. He's saying, yes, preach it, Papa, my boy. So he had an expectation of what the Jews had an expectation of who the Messiah would be. The Messiah would come and deliver them from this oppression, this rule of the Romans. So that was, for them, most of them, they thought that when Christ comes and he's going to be a king, he's going to be king of the Jews, he's going to be this ruler that's going to obliterate all the Roman oppression and all of those stuff. So the expectation was there. And then Jesus got crucified by those Romans, not understanding scriptures totally yet. So after Jesus was crucified and laid in the grave for 3 days, then there were two guys that were walking. Okay, we're looking, this is now the Emmaus, the road of Emmaus. And verse 13 says, in that very day, two of them, you know, when Jesus was risen that morning, because it was the Sabbath, nobody could go anywhere, you know. You only had 400 steps to take, so where would you take them? To the bathroom and back. Carefully. Your cadence should be 400 for the day. Anyway. So that morning they wanted to go back to the place where they came from Emmaus, and they, because they were in Jerusalem, and it was just chaos there with all that happened with Jesus. And then when the Sabbath was done, then they were going back to where they came from. And they were followers of Jesus, you know, disciples. You'll see that in the story. But that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation? I'm just thinking, Jesus must have had such fun, you know, in those times. After he's done what he's came to do, now, you know, it's the new covenant. It's been done in his blood, and now he's doing these things. And he walks in there, and he's God. He's not like he doesn't know what they're speaking about, okay? So then he comes and he says, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, and then they looked sad, okay? And you can start seeing disappointed. Then one of them named Cleopas answered him and said, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here these days? And Jesus is like, tell me. And he said to them, what things? Huh? What things? I'm like, come on, Jesus. And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet and mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped. What do you hear? Expectation. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things had happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us, and they were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that he had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, O slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then this. And then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he was going farther. Jesus was acting a lot in the story. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is towards evening and the day is far spent. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and they And then he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other these wonderful words. Did our hearts not burn within us while he talked to us on the road? While he opened to us the scriptures? So these guys were walking, they were disappointed because they were expecting this ruler, Christ the Messiah, to take over, and it didn't happen. What did Jesus do? Oh, Jesus walked with them. Jesus was walking with them in their disappointment. He was there with them. And what does he do? He expounds the scriptures to them as he's walking. So tonight I want to encourage you guys, if you are in that place of disappointment with God even, God, but you said this, and it hasn't happened yet. God is walking with you every step of that way. Maybe you don't see him. Maybe you don't experience him as for now. Maybe you are in that place where you don't really know. You know, you're confused and there's a lot of stuff in your head. Jesus is expounding scripture to you if you let him in that place. When you are disappointed with God, he will never leave you. I know he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's what he said. But in that place, there's a special place, you know, where God walks with us when we're disappointed. Not receiving the things. And sometimes it's because of our own stupidity. Jesus, I have expected you to give me a Ferrari. And I've got no Ferrari. Take the Dan Lamborghini then. Sometimes we're just silly. But if we are truly aspiring, you know, to know Jesus and walking a road with him, and in this road, sometimes, you know, there is disappointing things that happen in our lives. As we speak to God, as we see what we are hoping in our hearts not happening yet, then we get disappointed. And we think, God, where are you? He's walking right beside you. And, you know, back to the in-between story and this one. What is the thing that keeps these people anchored throughout this disappointing time? The Word of God. The acts of Jesus. The things that... Go and tell of what you see or what you hear. Or Jesus just expounding what? Scripture. I had a time in my third year, fourth year, somewhere there, where I was really confused. I was following Jesus, and I don't know what happened then. It was a tough time for me because I wasn't having any feelings and goosebumps and whatever anymore, because I had a lot of that. And then all of a sudden, nothing. And now my expectation of God is, God, but you need to do something. Show me that you're real. I know he's real, but I mean, I'm like, just give me some goosebumps or something. I don't know. And then I was in that place of absolute disappointment and confusion and stuff. But I knew what I've tasted, you know. I know that there's life. It's kind of like when Jesus offended most of the disciples with his vampire sermon. If you don't eat my blood and drink my flesh, or the other way around, drink my blood and eat my flesh, then you have no part in me. We laugh. How many of us, you know, looking forward to the Messiah coming, okay, not already knowing that Jesus is already here, as we experience it through his Holy Spirit, would not have been offended? You know, if you don't know Jesus and I'm here and I'm saying that, you know, all of these things and I'm the Messiah to come, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood to have part of me. Many of us would have left because that guy is whacked. And again, Jesus didn't say to them, he said to his disciples, because even they got offended through that. They came to Jesus and said, Jesus, this is a hard saying. And then Jesus explained to them that it is spirit, it's not flesh. But he didn't do to the others. And then he said, or they said to him, before they said this hard thing, and he explained it to them, he asked them one question. He says, do you want to go as well? He asked them that. And then they said a wonderful thing. They said, Jesus, you've got the words of life. Where will we go? They've tasted and they've seen. So I was at that place, you know, I've tasted and I've seen, had a lot of wonderful things happen in my life, and then this weird time, confusing disappointment time. And what I do remember of that time is that apart from the fact that God asked me and said, Deval, if I never give you one goosebump again, will you still follow me? Good question from God's side, you know. Because sometimes we so run after the gifts and the anointing and the goosebumps that we don't really follow Christ according to his word. And in that time, I was the only time, and that's what I told my wife many times, it was, I was in church, I was a crazy man inside. Outside, I was like the spiritual person. When the worship was on, I just wanted to run away. I didn't want to be there. And then when the word was preached, I had peace. When I read the word, I had peace. All the other times, I didn't have any of that. And God was saying, Deval, my word is the thing that is eternal. Not your goosebumps or your this or your that. Believe my word and you will be okay. Jesus, in the disappointment, expounded the scriptures to them. You hold on to the word of God, the infallible, eternal word of God. And that word of God is a person. His name is Jesus, and he lives. And if you are disappointed, he wants to walk with you. He wants to expound the scriptures to you. There's a special place. When the Emmaus people, when the two guys got there at the end, then they said, didn't our hearts burn within us while he was expounding the scriptures to us? When you get to the end of the road, you'll see, okay, God was actually speaking to me even though I thought I didn't hear a thing that he said. Same thing for me. When I read the word, God was speaking to me. Not through, you know, angelic visitations and deep prophecies and stuff. His word. His living word. So tonight I want to encourage you guys. If you are either disappointed, and then the worst one, if you're offended, then you need to deal with that. But I want to encourage you and say, don't let disappointment stop you from reading your word, because that's what Satan wants. If you stop reading your word and praying, even though you feel nothing, then you're in dangerous territory. Know that when you read the word, God will expound the scriptures to you through his Holy Spirit. And in that place of disappointment, as you walk with him faithfully, you will get to the other side, look back and say, hallelujah. Because then your faith is not connected to some whim of an emotion that you've got. Your faith is connected on the word of God, and the word is the truth. So don't let disappointment keep you away from your word and praying. And it's fine to be disappointed. We see it here. Jesus walks with us in that place. So tonight, as I end, I want you guys to just look at your heart and it's fine. As Alicia comes up, you know, she's going to play and I'm going to pray for us. And then I want you to come to the front. If you're either, you know, offended with God or disappointed with him or something, and you just want to say, God, I'm laying that down before you tonight. I'm laying down this thing where I want to understand, and I want to see, and I want to be in that place where your spirit just psychs me up, and it's fine that, but when it's not happening, God, that's okay too. Because your word is the thing that will stand. Everything else, all the gifts, all matter, everything will pass away. But your word will never pass away. And I will trust and I will put my trust in your word which is you, Jesus, as the final authority for my life. And I will not let disappointment get in the way of that. And then the other part, if you are offended with people, like really offended and mad at them, then tonight, come and deal with that. Come and forgive them. Come and lay them down before God. Say, God, I forgive them. Even though you don't feel like that. Come and do it so that God can remove from you that root of bitterness that wants to take root in your heart. So, Father, tonight we come to you, and God, as your children, thank you that you have said already, and we know that from your scripture, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And then it doesn't matter how we feel, God, you are always there. And Father, tonight I want to encourage people, Lord, from your word, that even if your word is the only thing that we've got, that is enough. And Jesus, I want to speak, Lord God, just your word into people's lives, God, that are sitting in confusing situations, God. Disappointed, Lord God, with the situation that they're in. Disappointed, Lord God, with promises that they feel, Lord God, that you've given them that has not come true yet. Father, and thank you that your word says, oh God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet. And it guides our path, Lord, as we walk. And Father, it gives us enough light for the next step, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, that people will not go and stand still and sit there in this valley of despair and disappointment. But God, they will go up and continue walking, knowing that your word is the truth, Lord. And your word is living. And Jesus, thank you that you are the word that comes from God to bring light in our darkness, in our disappointment. And Father, I pray, Lord, for hearts, Lord, for courage just to lay down, Lord, our offenses tonight before you. So if the Lord is speaking to you tonight, then please come to the front that I can pray with you, and cell leaders and elders here, we want to pray with you. We want to trust God that He will give you courage, and He will encourage you this evening to continue, even though it looks like there's no way that you can go. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and give you light for your path in this week as you go. And you bring hope to those who are hopeless. And you speak to your soul and say, take courage, my soul, for the Lord is with me. His word is in my hand. And His word is the truth. The Lord bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.